Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Norberto Petri was born on March 13, 1963. He was one of nine children. His entire family lived together in one house that had only two bedrooms, a living room, and a kitchen. There was no indoor bathroom, running water, or television. The family was extremely poor, and each child only had one outfit that he or she could wear every day and had to have washed on the weekends. Norberto's father was a mean drunk, an alcoholic who would drink every day after work. He'd storm through the front door after a long day at work, the kids running scared. And if he couldn't get his hands on one of the children, he'd beat their mother right in front of them. No one in the house was spared. After a time, Norberto's father grew tired of paying for the kids. He left one night without saying a single word. His father never returned or sent money to care for the family. Norberto's mother realized they needed a change, so they immigrated to the United States in 1969, specifically Palm Beach, Florida. There she met and started dating a man named Freddy Torres. Within short order, Torres started sexually abusing Norberto. His brothers and sisters confused, even jealous, why Norberto received so much candy and toys. Torres did not sexually abuse anyone else in the family. This sexual abuse lasted for a period of at least 2 years. Norberto's mother was totally ineffective as a parent, and she was unable to deal with her children. Petri's life lacked family structure. No one cared for the children. No limits were set. There was no management, and Petri had no source of comfort. Norberto sought comfort from his brother Edwin, but the older brother was no help, instead opting to layer on further abuse to his younger brother. During this period, Norberto was diagnosed with a cross-eye condition and underwent a procedure on his right eye as an attempt to correct the problem. However, the surgery caused the young boy to instead become blind in that eye. Norberto's siblings considered him the nicest brother of the family. His sisters in adulthood would recount all the times he took them skating on his free time, and what little pocket money he had, he'd share with them. But listener, there was a dark side creeping into Norberto, hidden from his family. One day, he was playing alone when a neighbor boy approached him. Norberto took the child off into the woods and molested him. He later stated that he was confused by his sexuality, and criminal psychologists believe that Norberto may have been acting out the sexual violence that was done to him. That is not to excuse his behavior, just potentially explaining it. Norberto was a good student, almost never missing a day, even insisting on attending class when sick. When he turned 16, he started working with his older brother Marino's landscaping business on the weekends. His older brother was proud of his work ethic. Norberto was a good worker, never lazy on the job. Norberto dropped out of school after a time. His brother was slowly raising his pay as he contributed more and more on the job site. Marino privately reflected that Norberto was going to outpace him if he continued to learn and improve at this rate. He was genuinely impressed. Before dropping out and during his high school years, Norberto didn't have a lot of downtime, not much in the way of friends, and certainly not enough time to date. When he turned 20, he met a nice woman who had a daughter. Their relationship soon developed, and Norberto moved in with her. It was his brother Edwin who introduced him to drugs. Norberto was arrested for possession, spent a night in jail, and once out, vowed to quit the habit. I can imagine you know where this one's going, listener. He soon relapsed. His cocaine use became daily, and eventually he'd use all day, every day. Then, to make matters worse, he graduated to freebasing. The effects of freebasing are more intense, and freebasing causes extreme anxiety, exhilaration, restlessness, excitement, and hyperarousal. The crash following the use of the drug causes extreme irritability, hostility, argumentativeness, erratic behavior, unpredictability, and uncontrollable kinds of behavior. Also attributable to this condition is poor attention span, distractibility, extreme depression, and paranoia. These symptoms can last for any length of time, from an hour to much longer. Norberto became paranoid, scared. He wouldn't sleep for days. He'd try to quit, last a couple of days, but soon he was fiending for more. One day, his sister Romana found her brother alone in the room with a shotgun. Norberto had to be talked down from killing himself. He was wasted and at the edge. Around this time, Norberto fell into gang life, and the members of the gang got him into drinking. It was suggested to him that this could curb his coke habit. This, of course, didn't work. Instead, adding the confusion of now abusing a downer and an upper. Soon after that, he started using a new drug, marijuana laced with PCP. His brother Marino had enough. There were too many days where Norberto was essentially useless at the job site, or didn't even show up at all. He told his younger brother to not bother showing up to work again. Norberto was fired. He turned to crime, including burglaries, to support his drug habit. Although Norberto frequently experienced time in jail for burglary, as soon as he was released again, he'd be out committing another burglary within 24 hours. Anything to obtain money to purchase his drugs. Finally, a judge had enough and gave him a serious sentence. Norberto was incarcerated for 20 months, getting out early on good behavior. However, the incarceration was just a time out from his drug addiction. There was no rehabilitation here. Norberto simply bided his time. The drugs had him in their grasp. And to many in his family, Norberto simply didn't want to quit. And it went on like this for years. He stole because he didn't have money. And he didn't have money because he stole, destroying his relationship with family members and friends. They knew not to keep cash out around him or leave him in their home alone lest he might steal something they owned, and they locked their doors. The drugs dulled his ability to see time and opportunity slipping through his fingers. His girlfriend left him. She viewed him as a loser that couldn't or wouldn't change. She had a child to raise, and she couldn't stick by this man who traded years of his life away to correctional facilities, years away from her own life. And I've purposely not named her here, in case you're confused by that. So, he spent his nights creeping homes, breaking and entering, selling whatever he could to fund his habit. And the other shoe always dropped. On August 18, 1988, Norberto walked away from the Watana Community Correctional Worker Release Center. At the time, he was restricted to the center's grounds while he awaited transfer to a more secure facility. Or, in other words, listener, he escaped. After his escape, he began a 4-day binge of using cocaine, breaking and entering and using burglaries to support this drug use. He was high for 4 days straight. Time and consequences were a non-factor in his mind. He numbed his body and his thoughts, only thinking about the next fix, how he could get more money. On August 22nd, he ran out of drugs. Driving a pickup truck he had stolen the day before, Norberto went to a house, broke in, and stole items including a 9mm semi-automatic firearm and a .38 caliber revolver. He placed the revolver in his waist and the 9mm in the glove box of the truck. He then returned to the house and walked into the kitchen. Norberto checked the cabinets looking for trash bags. He couldn't find any. He went to the master bedroom and stripped a pillowcase from a pillow. He then used the case to start bagging up jewelry. He was admiring a ring when he heard a noise. Norberto paused for a moment. He realized that his fingers instinctively had gone to the revolver in his waist. His throat clicking, sweat pouring down the side of his face. He put the bag of jewelry down, pulled out the revolver, and started walking through the house. He called out, asking if anyone was home. No answer. Was he just being paranoid? He decided he needed to grab the rest of the jewelry and get out of here. Norberto went to the master bedroom again. He finished bagging up the jewelry. He got out of the house, speed walking the entire time, and then nearly broke into a run once outside. That feeling of someone watching him the entire time, it wouldn't go away. He paused for a moment behind the wheel, staring at the house. Was his mind playing tricks on him? On the way to the pawn shop, Norberto stopped by his dealer, and getting ripped off in the process, he traded some of the expensive jewelry for some coke. His hands had been shaking, and he couldn't trade in the rest to a pawn shop in that state. Now, with more in the tank, his confidence was restored. Back on the road, Norberto gunned it, speeding on his way to the pawn shop. Norberto turned onto I-95 and gunned it further. Under the influence, he became increasingly impatient with the short drive he had ahead of him, and overly confident. Officer Chappelle sat on his motorcycle, watching for speeding motorists. That is when he saw Norberto driving a silver pickup truck, full throttle. The officer gave chase. Norberto didn't stop immediately. He panicked. Grabbing the stolen jewelry by his side, he stuffed it all in his pants. He looked around and realized there was no place to run. It was time to surrender. He was on the interstate. Where could he go? He stopped after about a mile. Officer Chappelle motioned for him to move forward to avoid blocking traffic, and Norberto complied. The officer approached the silver truck with a sense of authority. There may have been even anger in the officer's face. Norberto had one thought repeating in his mind, over and over again. What am I going to do? Norberto could see the gun in the officer's holster. He looked to the right and saw more jewelry on the seat of the truck. Without even thinking about it, Norberto started stuffing the rest of the jewelry in his pockets. It was then that he felt the gunmetal in his waistband. The officer was making the roll your window down pantomime with his hands, about 4 feet away from the truck. Norberto did roll the window down. He then pulled the revolver from his waist, holding it with both hands, aimed, and fired a single shot into Officer Chappelle's chest. Norberto stared at the gun in his hand in disbelief, the ringing in his ears from the revolver blanketing him in a sense of surrealness. The officer was on the ground with a shocked look in his eyes. Norberto had enough time to see the dying man unholster his gun before he sped off. Listener, I've always wanted to learn Spanish. Some of my favorite books are in the language, and a lot of my best friends speak it. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language. I've been using it, and I'm shocked by how quickly I'm learning. It's an intuitive process. You see, with Rosetta Stone, you pick up a language naturally. First with words, then phrases, then sentences. And it's designed for the long term. Meaning that with Rosetta Stone, you're going to retain what you learn. It's been used as a trusted expert for 30 years, with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, Obscura listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/ today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/ today. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life goes fast. I find it important to take a moment to celebrate your wins. Lately, I've just been happy with the state of the podcast. I've been hitting every goal I set. Listener, therapy can help you take stock of your progress and set achievable goals for the future. I know I've used therapy to orient myself and set realistic expectations for what I can achieve. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Take a moment. Visit BetterHelp.com/obscura today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/obscura. Obscura is supported by Incogni. Listener, do you know how easy it is for someone to access your information? Let me ask you something. When is the last time you plugged your name into a search engine? You might be surprised by what turns up, and I know I was. The disturbing conclusion I came to, that there was far more of my information available from a quick search than I'm comfortable with. You see, our data is bought and sold before we even understand why. We were giving away our email address and phone numbers to every store or website that asked. These data brokers aggregate your personal information, including your names and aliases, social security number, login credentials, home address, location history, online activity, and much, much more. All of this is available for purchase by businesses and can fall into the hands of criminals. And that there is the problem. The number of victims in these data breaches have skyrocketed, jumping up by 41% since 2021. Just as an example, you ever get slammed by spam robocalls? Well, now you know why. The good news is that you have the right to protect your privacy and request data brokers delete the information they hold about you. The bad news is that it would take you years to do it manually, just once, and you'd need to repeat the process every few months as data brokers continue collecting your data and creating new records. That's where Incogni comes in. They're here to do the heavy lifting and give you a way to regain control of your data. Head over to Incogni.com and see what I mean. That's INCOGNI.com, Incogni.com. Chappelle radioed, "I've been shot. I've been shot." He then laid his head back and died. The first officer who arrived at the scene saw that Chappelle's gun was still in the holster. The holster had been unsnapped, slightly pulled out, but not quite. This, however, indicates that Chappelle did try to remove his weapon. After leaving the scene of the shooting, Norberto went to his nephew's house for help disposing of the truck. He dumped the truck in a canal off the Florida Turnpike, leaving fingerprints all over the driver's side window. Officer Chappelle's death prompted an intense search. The truck in a canal with Norberto identified as the prime suspect. Now on the run, he stole another truck. He was later spotted by police officers near his sister's apartment, and later by an off-duty officer at a church. The officer grabbed Norberto's shoulder and told him he was under arrest. When the officer looked down, Norberto was holding a gun. The officer was tied up. Norberto escaped. That same evening, a couple and their 5-year-old son were in their car in the driveway of their home. As they prepared to leave, the husband realized he had left something in the house. When he returned to the house, Norberto got in the car and told the wife, "We're leaving. We're leaving." She instinctively started screaming. Understandable. Shocked that a random man now sat next to her, he told the woman, who was in the driver's seat, "Drive, or I'll shoot you." Norberto pointed the gun at her. The woman looked down at the gun, back to the gunman. She started screaming again. Frustrated and panicked, he reached over and opened her door. He then pushed the screaming woman out of the car, began to drive away. He looked in the mirror and saw the husband running behind him. He was pleading for his son, putting up prayer hands. Norberto slowed down. He didn't even look back as the man grabbed his son. It felt unreal to Norberto as he heard words of thanks as he drove away with the man's vehicle. Another police officer spotted the couple's car. Norberto stopped and waved the officer towards the car. The officer stopped and approached the car with his gun drawn. It was a fake out. Norberto sped off. Two other officers picked up chase, which proceeded at speeds of more than 100 miles per hour. Norberto lost them for the time. Never letting up on the gas. It was certainly a strategy. Maybe not a smart one. Because eventually, he lost control of the car, crashing driver's door first into a barricade. Everything was smashed up, and he looked over himself to check for damage. He was surprised to find that he was fine, not even bleeding. He crawled into the passenger's side and then jumped out of the car and began running. As Norberto ran, he reached into his pants and pulled out a bag of cocaine and put it into his mouth, started the impossible challenge of chewing it and swallowing it. It wasn't really working out. He could hear sirens closing in. No matter how hard he ran, the sound was gaining distance. He could hear the blood pumping in his ears. He saw his shoes hitting the ground, but it started to feel like he was in slow motion. Norberto was slowing down. He had expended so much energy. A police car cut him off and parked. Norberto turned, gathered energy. He ran in a quick burst in the other direction. But it was too late, listener. The cop was just too fresh. Norberto was exhausted, and Delray Beach officer Michael Swigger tackled and caught Norberto, ending the rampage. Sitting in the back of the car Norberto breathed heavily, his hands cuffed behind his back. He was covered in a slick oil of sweat. Officer Swigert stood over him for a moment, waiting for backup. Without being propositioned, Norberto admitted to Officer Swigert that he shot the officer who stopped him when he was on his way to sell stolen goods. Norberto broke down and cried. He said that he didn't want to hurt anyone, that he was scared and his hands seemed to take over. When emergency personnel arrived at the original scene, Officer Brian Hayward Chappell was pronounced dead at the scene. He was 31 years old. Searching his name online, I found a remembrance page that I want to take a moment to read here, dated August 22, 2022, by Detective Ron Tomasi, retired, of Palm Beach, Florida Sheriff's Office. It reads, "Dear Brian, wow, 34 years since you left us. Your death has never quite left all of us working that day, and never will. I've been to your gravesite several times over the years, but have since retired and moved away. But the events of that day are still vivid. Rest in peace, Brian, in remembrance of you and your sacrifice." Winston Churchill once said of his military, "Never have so many owed so much to so few." And that could be said of you, others who have made the ultimate sacrifice, and those of us who served and answered the cry of the wolf at the door. Listener, the trial and surrounding media turned into a circus. Norberto was a cop killer, and cop killers, well, they did great ratings. He was photographed and recorded doing his perp walk, Norberto's head held low while he was bathed in flashing lights of cameras, and the journalist shouting unanswered questions at the once straight-A student with his entire future ahead of him left unwritten. At his trial, Norberto testified that he panicked under the influence of cocaine. His state-appointed defense attorney suggesting that the drugs turned an otherwise good man into a monster. I don't have to tell you that the state argued otherwise, telling jurors not to buy it, stating that Norberto had his chance to change many times in his life, that he was a repeat offender, and that this time he made the one mistake he couldn't excuse away. And the jury agreed with the state. They recommended death. Norberto started shaking, his face betraying his horror. He started crying. He then jumped up, turned and faced Officer Chappelle's parents, and belted out, "I'm very, very sorry. I'm very, very sorry. I am so sorry. I am so, so sorry." He wouldn't calm down, and Norberto had to be shackled to a chair. The judge wasn't buying the display. He told the sobbing man that this was not the act of a remorseful man, that Norberto only cared that he was facing the consequences of his actions. In imposing the death penalty, the trial judge found four aggravating factors. 1. The murder was committed by someone under a sentence of imprisonment. 2. The murder was committed while Norberto was fleeing after committing a burglary. 3. The murder was a homicide, committed in a cold, calculated, and premeditated manner, without any pretense of moral or legal justification. 4. The murder was committed to avoid arrest or to escape. The murder was committed to disrupt or hinder the lawful enforcement of laws, and the victim was a law enforcement officer performing his official duties. 5. The trial judge found no statutory or non-statutory mitigating factors. Norberto Petri still sits on death row. Using the appeals process to stretch out his sentence, it has been a point of contention in the city of Palm Beach. In 2008, an article was written by the Palm Beach Post in which Brian Chappelle's father, Tom Chappelle, 88, said, There's a good chance Norberto Petri will outlive him. I leave you with a quote, listener. Norberto's father said, "The appeals process is way too long. I felt this way before my son was killed. I would forgive him if that would bring my son back."
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.